It's 11:01. Welcome back to Open Air on the Rhythm and News Service of Jefferson Public Radio, streaming at ijpr.org. I'm Eric Thiel. We've got another great live session for you, and one that came up on relatively short notice. We got word that Mr. Ben Taylor had a day off on his West Coast tour and happened to be in Ashland, so we welcomed him in. Ben, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me. The pleasure is really all mine.
Why Ashland? What was the determination to just kind of take a day off here in our area?
Actually, I was bummed out that we weren't going to play here when my agent and my manager called me up discussing the routing for this tour. They said, all right, so we're going to hit San Francisco, and then we'll go up to Oregon, and then we go up to Washington. I said, hold on a minute. What about Ashland? Because every time I come here, it's such an amazing, like, oasis of, like, organic snacks and healthy living people and open-minded freaks and such that I always try to play here any chance I can. And haven't in quite a few years, so I was making a point of it. And when we got the day off, I said, yeah, why we don't come through here? And we hate days off. We can't stand them. We would much rather be playing music, so we were just looking for anything to do. We said, anybody playing us on the radio up there? We just go in.
Right on. Well, we're glad to have you. For folks that aren't familiar with you and your background, you are literally the son of songwriting royalty. James Taylor, Carly Simon are your parents.
That's all literally true, except I don't know if you can actually call that royalty.
They're close.
That's the only, like, mildly interpretive part.
Held in high regard by many.
Certainly, and they seem like royal to me. They certainly are my king and queen.
Was there a specific age that you remember where your impression of them changed from just mom and dad to, oh, hey, these are fairly famous, very successful people? Was there a point?
I remember thinking that everybody's situation was the same as mine. Mm. I didn't realize that people, it took me a while to realize that people didn't all have parents. I thought that's what parents did. So for me, it was actually when I started going to school and talking to other kids, you know, we'd have show and tell and whatnot. We'd start talking about what our parents did. And it blew my mind, man. I said, wow. That sounds like I'd see a lot more of my old man if he did that.
When you were young, did you play music with your parents?
I never started playing music until I was in my 20s.
Huh. Were you rebelling against what was in your household?
Terrified.
Yeah.
Terrified of the example of success that both of my folks have set out in this field. And mostly because of the pressure that I realized and reckoned I would put on myself on account of expecting so much based upon that. So I've tried to look for anything else that I could do until I started doing music professionally. But, you know, you get sometime in your mid-20s and you figure, all right, I'm probably done doing all the studying I'm going to do. It's time to have a career. And I began to think about the things that I was, A, qualified, and B, you know, that I felt were worthy of pouring the rest of my life into. And the only two jobs I came up with on my list were Jedi Knight and musician. And I tried to contact the Jedi, but all of them turned out to just be actors. They didn't know what I was talking about. And then I did have access to some musicians, so I got my feet wet.
We've now got four albums out, plus a couple of EPs and some sort of one-off singles that have come out of some interesting covers. The new one is called Listening. Can we hear a tune from it?
I'd love to, yeah. We called this album Listening because we're performers, and we're so good at being listened to by other people that we realize we need to get better at listening to them. So we wrote this song about listening. Another number for another year, another blessing disguised by fear. How come everything good seems so hard to hear while I'm listening? I've been trying to find myself, and all I need is a little help. But everybody else is busy helping themselves. Am I listening? Listening, I get to feeling like I can't go on here. How much longer, how much longer? Ooh, believing that I don't belong here. How much longer? Tell me. I walk so far, but I can't get near. There's so much talking, the point disappears. It's only what's missing that comes through clear. I've been listening. I want so much that I aim too high.
I test the water and feed the fire, so it's no one's wonder my mouth gets dry. I've been listening, listening. I get to feeling like I can't go on here. How much longer, how much longer? Ooh, believing that I don't belong here. How much longer? Tell me. I was looking for a way to bow out gracefully. When I try to catch some understanding, everybody wants to race with me. And I get to feeling like I can't go on here. How much longer, how much longer? Ooh, believing that I don't belong here. How much longer? Tell me how much longer, how much longer.
It's Ben Taylor live on Open Air here on the Rhythm and News Service of Jefferson Public Radio, online at ijpr.org. Lead off track from the new album called Listening. Ben, I read that you actually quit high school and went on a sojourn to China and Tibet. What was there for you?
In retrospect, mostly what was there was any alternative to high school as I knew it. I never did well in school. I never read a book until I was, you know, in my late teens, and I was in China studying Kung Fu and Buddhism and martial arts and Qigong and stuff. And so it was a good way for me to get out of Dodge and make my parents satisfied that I was doing something educational in spite of the fact that it wasn't traditional. I'd been studying martial arts for a long time, and when I was, you know, finally a couple days before I turned 16 and I could drop out, I left. I had a Kung Fu teacher I was crazy about, and we just went to China and Tibet and studied a lot.
How long were you there?
Couple of different occasions. One first time 6 months, second time 5 months, I think, something like that. So effectively a year over a couple of years.
And did your stay last as long as the money lasted, or what determined when you moved on?
I didn't really have any money then, you know. so that was that. But if you're traveling in May, if you're traveling sort of, you know, economy class in mainland China, you can make a little bit of money going an extraordinarily long way. Mm-hmm. No, it was time for me to, you know, I hadn't spoken to my folks because I've always been a miserable correspondent. I wasn't writing them letters. I was busy sort of, you know, doing my thing. And I think that I finally got back into a big city and talked to my mom, and she said, you coming home.
Yeah. Were they supportive of your decision to go?
Yeah, they were always, you know, maybe even more supportive than they might have been, given what a lazy, inconsiderate, reckless hooligan of a punk student I always was in school. They always, because my teachers would always tell them, maybe because they liked my father, my parents' music or something, they would always tell them, you know, Ben is obviously extraordinarily capable and clever. He's just not applying himself. I said, well, teach me some Kung Fu then.
And you mentioned that you didn't start really playing music until you were in your 20s, and I understand that decision was inspired by another trip that you took to the Caribbean?
Well, I don't know if it was inspired. When I was in my 20s, and I'd been playing guitar for a while longer than that. I'd been playing guitar a little bit, fiddling around since I was in my teens, you know, learning how to play other people's songs and sort of whispering them quietly when no one could hear me. And I don't know, when I was around 20, a good friend of mine, Andrew Jarecki, he sent me down to this island in the Caribbean, and he said, you're obviously very talented. He loves my dad's music. He loves me. We're good friends. He said, you're obviously very talented. You need a month of total seclusion to see if you can get all right with yourself and write some songs. So I like the things you say. I like your taste in music. Chances are you put them together and they're going to be really good. So he sent me off at a time when I didn't have any money to do it or anything like that to this island in the Caribbean where I was by myself for month and a half, and I just, you know, I did. I got comfortable with it and started out by playing it to sort of, you know, the ornithologists who were there studying the bird population mm-hmm. of the island and whatnot.
So it's kind of interesting, having come from such a musical family, that when you finally make the decision that you're going to be a musician, you're kind of doing it on your own. It wasn't like you called up mom and dad and said, hey, I'd like to be a musician. You know, can we work some things out together, or can I sort of woodshed with you?
I did. And first of all, my mother doesn't woodshed because she has such stage fright. She doesn't get on stage at all. She was very happy to help me, you know, to give me feedback on the songs that I started writing and sort of saying, okay, this is well-worn territory. This is a little pedestrian. This is superfluous. You know, she'd tell me, she's a great critic and editor.
Are you receptive to that from mom?
The way that most, you know, litanous relationships between mothers and sons are, I storm out of the room and refuse to accept it. And then I get in my room and I thought, oh,
she was right. Yeah,
she's totally right.
Well, being that both of your parents were immensely famous, and that you weren't really around them much from 16 to, you know, early 20, something like that, did you have an accurate perspective of what being a professional musician was like?
Not at all. Of course not. The example of success that they set for me was so, and I, like I said, I didn't even know that other kids didn't have parents who were famous musicians until you know, quite a while. Thankfully, when I took the songs that I wrote on this island to some record labels and played them to some different, you know, old elder statement record executives, and they said, wow, this is really incredible, we'll sign you, you know, and I talked to my dad about it. I said, these labels want to sign me. I played them these tunes, and he said, just so you know, music is a blue collar affair. He's like, if you think that because of what you've seen that it's going to be like this, you're probably wrong. And if you think that this is easy, you're very wrong. So he was the realist, and he played the realist, and my mom played the part of somebody who, you know, gave me all the support in the world and told me I could do anything.
Yeah. Ben Taylor's my guest live on Open Air here on the Rhythm and News Service of Jefferson Public Radio. The new album is called Listening. Can we hear another tune?
So this one is called Worlds Are Made of Paper, and it's about, you know, paper airplanes and paper mache globes and money and contracts and trees and post-its, things like that.
Just another day, just another day, I'm here where I belong. Any other place, any other way, I'd sing a different song. You wouldn't sing along, would you? Would you? Worlds are made of paper, and time is only time. Nothing lasts forever, 'cause people change their minds. I do. Oh, well, I could find a way, and I could learn the lines. It isn't hard to do, but I'm so happy here, I think I'd rather stay with you, with you. Worlds are made of paper, and time is only time. Nothing lasts forever, 'cause people change their minds. I do. So good, so far from the vein. Restart everywhere I go, I seem to lose my heart. Worlds are made of paper, and time is only time. Nothing lasts forever, 'cause people change their minds. I do. Oh, but for the moment I can't find a reason why I need to move along. Tomorrow doesn't mind that yesterday is just my favorite beat. song, my favorite Beatles song. Ooh, ooh, worlds are made of paper, and time is only time. Nothing lasts forever, 'cause people change their minds. I do, oh, just another day, just another day.
It's Open Air on the Rhythm and News Service of Jefferson Public Radio, streaming online, ijpr.org. A live session today with Ben Taylor, whose new album is called Listening. You know, Ben, listening to you play a couple of tunes here in our studio, I would say that if there's one underlying similarity between your songs and those of your parents, vocal similarity aside, it's that all of your music generally makes you feel good. There's just this quality about them that puts a smile on your face. Is that something that
I'll fix that
that you're aware of as you write songs? Is there something you're going for?
No. I get told that all the time, and of course it upsets me because I've done I do from time to time try to sort of break away from the folk stereotype. And you know, a lot of people say, oh, your music makes me feel so calm, or it makes me so relaxed, or whatnot. And I've had to learn to accept that about my music, because I like music that gets me pumped up. I generally speaking, I don't listen to much of my own music, you know. But I think that what I have a talent for, or what seems to come, the songs that seem to come tearing out of me are the ones that you don't have a whole lot of music distracting from the point of the songs. I think the songs that I write and that David and I write together are really... they're songs in a classic sense. They have points, they have verses, choruses, and bridges,
and they end.
And it's a narrative that's important. You know, so yeah, it's a story. Those are the sort of songs I like to make.
And you talked about how, as you've gotten older, you focus more now on the notes you don't play than the notes you play.
I think that's one of the signs of maturity in a musician, really. I think that you don't do it on purpose. Somebody really cool and old and funkier than any dead dog you ever came across says, it's not about the notes, man, it's about the holes. And you say, wow, that's cool. But you don't really get it until you've gone ahead and played too many notes and then looked back on it and said, you know what? I stomped on the subtlety. You know, it really is. It's the spaces in between notes. They're what make the breath in the song. The notes, those are supposed to happen on the beat, and often enough nowadays they happen metronomically on the beat. But where they end, even in electronic music, where the beats end and where the next one starts, there's you know, tiny little differences in between those spaces, and that's where breath happens, if you ask me.
Well, the new album's called Listening. It's a new record, literally a record of music from, I gather, a fairly lengthy period of time for you, right? About 4 years worth of songs came together?
I mean, yeah, more than that, because we had songs that we wanted to record before we finished the last album. So, you know, we write too many songs, and it's always a sort of a strange thing. You want to record an album, you say, okay, let's start with these 12 songs, because we think these are the most likely. And you record 10 of those, and you...
Well, let me ask a question about that. These are the most likely to what? I mean, this is not exactly music that's, you know, going up on you know, the Rhapsody top charts. It's not going to sell a million copies necessarily. So what is it that you, as a songwriter and performer, are looking for when you pick those 12 songs to go on an album?
First of all, I want them to be songs that are accessible and unusual, right? Which is an interesting combination. You need to come up with an idea as a songwriter that everybody has hopefully had before, and you need to come up with a way to say it that nobody's ever heard.
Ben Taylor's my guest, live on Open Air here on the Rhythm and News Service. How about some credit to the guy who's sitting right next to you?
This is my, generally speaking, right-hand man, although he's on my left-hand side, which is sort of weird. I almost forgot he's there. I keep on looking for him on that side. But this is David Saw from London, England, who is my brother. I mean, not by blood, but we call ourselves heterosexual life mates. We live together. We write songs together all the time, fight over the same girls, etc. He's the only dude in my band who's really expects to be woken up at 9 a.m. to do a radio show with
me. Right on. Now, is it true, I read this somewhere, is it true that if you could be doing anything other than making music, that you would be a farmer?
even music is gardening, you know. If you handle the right things, what you do, if you raise children, you're growing them. If you make songs, you're growing them. If you do medicine, you are encouraging positive bacteria as opposed to, you know, just killing all the bacteria. I think everything is farming and gardening. So, yeah, that would have made me happy. That would have made me very fulfilled, being able to provide sustenance for my friends and family. And I have a lot of people who are involved in agriculture at home. And I do a lot of work with a company called Island Grown Initiative and Island Grown Schools. I live on a small island in Martha's Vineyard. We've worked together to raise money and work with the Scholastic State Protocol and the members of the school board and a bunch of lawyers. And we fit agriculture into the curriculum in the schools on Martha's Vineyard. We put greenhouses in all of them, and a whole bunch of kids are growing food for their cafeterias and for some of the senior homes on island and the prisons and whatnot. Cool. It's a great. But I think that there are other things that I would like to do. One way or the other, Island Grown Schools is great because it's got agriculture and it's got teaching.
Yeah.
And I love education. I mean, I'm not necessarily the education system, but I love learning and I love to try to teach.
It's Ben Taylor live on Open Air here on the Rhythm and News Service of JPR. The new album is called Listening. So I got one more song in you, I hope. And before we get there, you had mentioned earlier about hating downtime. And you've got some downtime. So we can actually maybe try to help you out a little
here. That would be amazing. So the thing is, like, we almost never do days off because you end up in a city you don't know with a day off and your options are very limited. So we try to book shows every day. We didn't do it today. We've got a show in Portland tomorrow. And I said, we got to stop in Ashland because I love Ashland. All of us are sitting on the bus saying, I can't believe we don't have a gig. What are we going to do? And so, yeah, we would love to play some sort of a free, haphazard, last-minute impromptu either house party or someone got a little venue or something like that tonight in Ashland. We would love to throw it down. If you all want to call into the radio station for it, what's the number?
541-552-6301. Or if you want to send an email, send it to jprmusic@sou.edu. That's jprmusic@sou.edu, and we'll pass on your contact information to Ben's folks.
Yeah, we'll come to somebody's house and play in their living room. We'll whatever it is. We got a whole band with us. We'll set up some instruments. We'll have a little fun. We just can't stand a day off. If anybody's got any better suggestions, we're open to those too.
It's Ben Taylor. The new album's called Listening, live on Open Air. One more tune. Let's hear it.
I'm feeling hungry, took everything from me. I looked up at the stars and asked them what the sun say. They whisper softly, it really doesn't matter to you. It really doesn't matter to you. Now what the hell make the green grass grow? I spilt milk, I got to clean that. Flow, Monopoly, trying to lean past. Go, tell my brothers that I seen that. Bro, a traitor ain't what it seem as. So, not yes when they really mean no. The lifestyle ain't what the magazine show. We did it dirty, now we keep it clean, low. I'm feeling hungry, took everything from me. I looked up at the stars, asked them what the sun say. They whisper softly, it really doesn't matter to you. It really doesn't matter to you. My Auntie Pam down in New Orleans, she told me money never grow on trees. They printed a few twos, but passed on threes. So when the plague hits the planet with mass disease, I ask who's on top and who's last to lead. Used to be only concerned with what master need, and now we all teach babies they have to read. Mama life feeds only who she has to feed. I'm feeling hungry, took everything from me. I looked up at the stars, asked them what the sun say. They whisper softly, it really doesn't matter to you. It really doesn't matter to you. Do believe, star, those pretty trees are expendable, pa, just like you are and what your needs are. It's 10 o'clock, Do you know where your little seeds are? Welcome to the most pretentious show ever. And the nominees are those little things that matter to you. Those little things that matter to you. Ooh, I'm feeling hungry. Took everything from me. I looked up at the stars and asked them what the sun said. They whisper softly, it really doesn't matter to you. It really doesn't matter to you. It really doesn't matter to you. It really doesn't matter to you.
It's Ben Taylor live on Open Air here on the Rhythm and News Service of Jefferson Public Radio. The brand new album is called Listening. And unlike most of our previous live sessions, we're actually going to have some decent photography of this one because Mookie Maxwell is here helping us out taking
Mookie
photographs.
Mookie in the house, man. Can't thank you enough. Well, you can't even, for those of you listening, you wouldn't believe how horrible we look right now. So you're going to have to, Mookie's going to have to be here to prove it because we haven't slept in days, man.
We got more live music for you coming next week. Mindy Smith is going to be here. Week after that, Sean Hayes and Field Report will be our guests live. Ben Taylor, thanks so much for dropping by.
Pleasure's really mine, man. Thanks for having us.